resume the Board of Directors meeting. With that, we'll go to Agenda Item 5, which is the State Legislative Update.
Danielle Coates.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, good morning, everyone, Paul, and members of the board. So, I'm going to take this opportunity and provide an update on our California legislative process that I'm up to right now. I'm going to start with covering the current events and the legislative responses to coronavirus, and then I'm going to jump back to where the legislature sort of left off prior to going on the extended spring recess that officially started back on March 20th. I think it's safe to say that the environment in Sacramento is currently unpredictable at best. The legislature remains on recess, and they are officially noted to return on April 13th. However, that remains unclear if they will indeed return on the 13th. There's conversations on extending that date, and that does appear to be the likely outcome. However, even though the legislature is on recess, legislative staff remains very active, and we've seen plenty of the effects of their work. One positive outcome for where we find ourselves is that legislative work is now being conducted electronically, which I know that doesn't seem like a remarkable change. However, prior to this process, it was usual practice for amendments and bills to still be delivered by legislative staff to legislative council. So having the legislature come to the 21st century and use email is pretty remarkable and sort of a positive change that we hope actually sticks around. And actually, prior to last year, it was definitely not unusual to fax letters to legislative offices. So again, this is a really good change. Prior to breaking for recess, the legislature, in response to the coronavirus outbreak, passed and the governor signed two bills. Those bills are SB 89 and SB 117. And these bills allocated $1 billion to address coronavirus impact on the economy, and the second bill kept schools funded and operational. Prior to the break in the legislature, the legislature did contemplate the methods for continuing their business remotely, given the concerns over the spread of coronavirus, and they did pass that resolution 86, which did allow them to contemplate legislative voting. However, one hurdle they are still trying to overcome is the California Constitution requires the Capitol to stay open to the public, which again is something they're still trying to address. In addition to the budget, the legislature has also introduced a series of bills to address eviction protections, mandatory sick leave for employees and independent contractors, and bans on utility shutoffs for CPUC-regulated utilities. However, as we know, many CPUC-regulated entities have taken action to avoid shutoffs during this crisis as well. We do have associations that are tracking this information and providing some voluntary reporting on those entities to the CPUC, and the CPUC is, of course, pleased to hear that the non-regulated are taking such voluntary action. With such an irregular year, routine legislative functions are definitely being impacted, but the state budget process will undoubtedly shift significantly to accommodate the crisis. As one constant in this conversation is the constitutionally required deadline of June 15th for the legislature to pass the state budget. We already know that the budget is going to look a lot different than what we saw back in January when the governor introduced a $222 billion budget. The Department of Finance, they've already issued a letter to the legislature providing guidance on budget changes and indicated that they're going to be analyzed on the basis of a workload budget, which they defined as a budget that addresses current services at levels adjusted for inflation and changes in enrollment. So any and all future budget change requests will be highly scrutinized, and originally members of the legislature were encouraged to outline their top five budget requests. However, even that action has been rescinded. Since the governor first declared a state of emergency back on March 4th, he has since issued no less than 11 executive orders. Clearly, we're taking advantage of one of those executive orders today through the changes that were outlined for the Brown Act. various other elements of government function for moving forward through the pandemic were addressed. And the governor continues to hold near daily press conferences, which as of Monday have actually transitioned to daily press conferences that are to be held at noon. I'm going to take a moment and switch over to the legislative process. On January 31st, that was the House of Lords deadline for bills to be introduced in 2019. And February 21st was the bill introduction deadline for bills to be introduced for the 2020 legislative session, so our current legislative session. Approximately 2,200 bills were introduced prior to the February deadline, with more than 400 of those bills being introduced on the day of the deadline. So once a bill is introduced, it must be in print for 30 days before it is eligible to be heard in a call to committee. With the legislature breaking for the extended spring recess, a majority of those bills that were introduced for 2020 have yet to receive a call to committee hearing. So that does complicate the legislative process, especially as it pertains to the 2,200 bills that were introduced this year and the for a total of 5,000 bills introduced within the 2 years. And it's unlikely, even if the legislature does come back on April 13th, that they will even have the time to remotely consider that volume of bills, especially since we're on the verge of a number of forthcoming policy committee deadlines, the first of which is on April 24th. And the House of Origin deadline was also quickly approaching, which is May 29th. So of those bills, what are some of the specifics that we're seeing? So we did see 30 bills introduced at this point in the session to address some portion of last year's AB5 by Assembly Member Christina Garcia. As you recall, this is the highly controversial bill pertaining to independent contractors. So there's both the Senate and the Assembly to address various functions of that bill. On the wildfire and public safety power shutoff side, there's also a considerable number of bills in the legislature on that front, with over a dozen bills that have been introduced, and Eastern has taken active positions on 11 of those 12 bills. The 12th bill addresses skilled nursing facilities, which is something we're watching, but it's not something we're active on at this point. Of the TSPS-related bills, there are two that I want to discuss. The first is SB 1099, which requires an air district to adopt a rule or update its rule to allow a water or wastewater provider to utilize a backup generator during a PSPS event or for testing of the backup generators. Eastern is actively supporting this bill. We have submitted a letter in support, and if and when this bill is taken up, we will be there to support Las Virgenes Municipal Water District and CMUA in this bill as they are the sponsors. The second bill that I want to bring to your attention is AB 2182 by Marco Rubio, and this one is sponsored by AQUA, and it would preclude the State Air Resources Control Board or a local air quality management district from applying penalties for the use of a backup generator during a PSPS event for a critical infrastructure provider. So again, Eastern is actively supporting both of those bills. On the safe drinking water side, we continue to meet with the state board, EJ representatives, committee consultants, and members of the legislature on SB 414. We had very productive meetings back at the beginning of the month with a number of committee consultants and legislators. In fact, we did have one committee consultant indicate that in an era of needing to streamline and be more effective and efficient in governance delivery, SB 414 seems like a no-brainer. So we did take those meetings to be a very good indication of where we could possibly take the bill should the legislature return in a timely manner. So as of right now, SB 414 sits in the Assembly Appropriations Committee in the second house, and under a traditional schedule, our bill wouldn't be taken up until August. So we're working to see if we can find an alternative, more aggressive timeline to ensure that the bill comes up in a timely manner. Also on the safe drinking water side, A bill that has occupied a lot of our time and interest is SB 1280 by Senator Monning. This is a bill that pertains to consolidations of at-risk systems. So at-risk is a new term for the consolidation process. And this bill is sponsored by the EJ community for the same component of SB 88. However, this bill is different in two ways. One, the bill addresses and defines again the new term at-risk and for systems that serve less than 500 connections. And then, unlike other consolidation bills that the state board has shepherded through, unlike other consolidation bills, this bill does not have the state board shepherd the system through the consolidation process. Instead, it's a well-intended yet poorly designed petition process, whereby 30% of the households served by the system can petition the state board to pursue a consolidation. So we've been active not because this bill would necessarily apply to Houston, but it does set a number of precedents, especially in regards to how an out-of-risk system is defined, and we do find it very problematic. Finally, the Assembly has circulated language on AB 7256, which is the Assembly's version of the Climate Resilience Bond, and it outlines a $6.9 billion climate resilience bond. This does round out the SB 45, which is the Senate's $5.5 billion climate resilience bond by Senator Allen, and the Governor's climate resilience proposal, which is a $4.75 billion effort. We've had a number of meetings in recent weeks with legislative staff and legislators, including those responsible for drafting the Senate and Assembly efforts, and all have indicated that they are moving forward with refining the language. However, there is a recognition that following the failure of Proposition 13 and the severe downturn of the economy, a resilience bond, it looks very unlikely at this point. However, there have been some rumblings that conversations could pivot to a jobs and stimulus bond, and Eastern has been actively participating in a local coalition effort to pursue funding for septic to sewer conversion. And if conversations do pivot to a jobs bond, we are prepared to continue to advocate for such funding for the shovel-ready projects. The legislature has until June 25th to qualify a bond for the November ballot, although there is a lot of flexibility built into the process. So at this point, we've covered a lot of ground, and I would conclude my update here, but I am more than happy to address any questions or even expand on any potential bills.
Do you have any questions of Danielle?
No.
Not at this time. Well, thank you for the update. I think, you know, a lot of us are still wondering, you know, what's going to happen with SB 414. And but it sounds like it's going to move forward, I think.
We're hopeful.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you,
Danielle.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. With that, we'll go to agenda item 6, which is receive and file. I accept a motion and a second for approval of items 6A through 6B.
I'll move the item.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Polly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. We'll go to agenda item 7, which is the calendar review. Nicole, thank you.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. Attached to your calendar review today is one flyer for a new event. On Monday, April 6th, the Building Industry Association's Riverside County chapter is holding a COVID-19 webinar to discuss the federal, state, and local response. Congressman Ken Calvert, Supervisor Siegel, and Riverside Mayor Rusty Bailey will be speakers. That call is at 10 a.m., and Director Slauson has signed up to attend if any others want to participate.
And that's when? Is that what day of the week is
Monday, April 6th, so next Monday.
At 10?
At 10.
I'll probably be on for the first hour, because one of my questions is, especially with the BIA. What happens to, are they going to allow extensions of time for track maps? That are in the process? Because some, you know, you're not done by whatever that 10-year date is or whatever they have. You get to start over, and under these circumstances, it's very difficult.
So you'll be shooting in some of the questions to the...
I'm going to be shooting in some of the questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'll get you registered for that, Director Sullivan.
Thank you.
Moving to page 2, we have the board's calendar for the next 2 weeks. Beginning with today at 1 p.m., we have the City of Paris Sewer System Analysis Meeting that Director Sullivan will attend at 1 p.m. Thursday, April 2nd at 4 p.m., the Board Administrative Committee will meet, Directors Polly and Sullivan. Monday, April 6th, we have Director Polly has a meeting with Deputy General Manager Nomura at 7:30 a.m. and it's here at the MWD. And we've discussed the COVID webinar already. Tuesday, April 7th, the SAPA Commission will meet at 9:30 a.m. Director Slauson will attend. Wednesday, April 8th, Director Corona has an update meeting with General Manager Jones at 8 a.m. here at the district office. And following that meeting, we have the Board Planning Committee meeting. Directors Corona and Record will attend. That begins at 9 a.m. And on the 8th, following Planning Committee, Director Record has his update meeting with the General Manager at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday, April 9th, Director Slauson has an update meeting with Paul Jones at 7:30 a.m. here in the district. And Director Corona will attend the Rancho California Water District Board meeting at 8:30 a.m. On Thursday, April 9th as well, we have the Joint Inland Caucus and Orange County Caucus meetings at 11:30 a.m. for Director Record. And that afternoon, Director Record has an F&I committee agenda review with the Metropolitan staff. Monday, April 13th and Tuesday, April 14th, the Met board and committee meetings will be held, Director Record's calendar. And on Tuesday, April 14th, we have the joint meeting with Elsinore Valley Water District at 3:30 p.m. Elsinore Valley has requested that we conduct that meeting via WebEx or a webinar. So if that works for Directors Corona and Holly. Thank you. So we'll set that up. On page 3, we have upcoming events. Just a note that the Orange County Summit, Water Summit, has been canceled. That was scheduled for May 29th. And you have received notices that the Aqua Spring Conference is now the Summer Conference in July.
Hopefully.
To be announced. And the upcoming board and committee meetings are listed. Reschedules are noted. On the last page, we have the joint interagency meetings, and just a reminder that the April 7th joint meeting with Rancho California Water District has been canceled. Are there any questions or changes to the calendar? That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll go through the director's attendance reports. Director Record. We'll come back to Randy. We'll go to...
here I am.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
The March board meeting has a very detailed report from Jolene. Probably the most significant thing was General Manager Pat Hamer announcing his desire to leave by the end of the year. And so Chairwoman Gray is working on a selection ad hoc committee to do that. We did have, at the end of the month, our off Tuesday committee meetings consisted of a joint board and executive committee meeting. Only two items were to approve the agenda and also to give the general manager emergency powers, just confirm that, and he had already taken the ability to do that. There's a conference call with 60 people on it, which was very challenging, and even with only two agenda items, it was challenging. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in April when we have our full committee meetings and all the items, but we'll see how it goes. That's my report.
Okay. Director Pauly.
I had a meeting with the general manager in which we mainly discussed the new and upcoming challenges that he's bringing and under these circumstances and update on some other things. It's always good, and what I now refer to as CAFE 217. and I do appreciate staff. I've provided an excellent breakfast up there, so thank you.
Okay, Director Slauson.
Yes, I had a meeting with GM Paul, and it was a great meeting. Always nice to have a lot more detail on matters affecting the district, so I appreciate it.
Okay. I also had my meeting with the general manager on March 25th. I'll certainly echo Director Pauly's comments. It was nice to have a little something that early in the morning prepared by staff. Actually, on 3/27, I did attend the NWRA board meeting over the phone that lasted a while. That was primarily to go over a new contract for Water Strategies, and a lot of detail discussion from some folks. So then on Monday, I was with the Sewer Overflow and Stormwater Reuse Municipal Grants Conference with EPA, which I've already gone over, and Paul did an excellent job on that one. That concludes my attendance. Do we have any future agenda items from any of the directors? Hearing none, then we'll adjourn to closed session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The closed session items will be identified as items 9A and B.
Thank you, counsel. Is there room?